Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's funny the way a conversation or a remark can spark an idea or something to talk about. Myself and Louise were chatting the other morning and I said a word, and later on here in the studio she says to me, I heard you saying something there this morning. I meant to say to you, I haven't heard it mentioned in years and years. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, you said you went home and you put on your duds. Am I right? Am I accurate there, what
yeah.
I'm saying? Yeah, that's
yeah.
the way it happened, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And God almighty, she said, that just got set me thinking about duds. And we were wondering, do people today have duds, weren't we? Is the term used at all? Do people refer to them with that word?
Yeah, because I know my mother always said it.
Did she?
I'm going home and, just love to get into, you know, or whatever, and love me duds, and that's just it. And I just thought it was just a mammy speak. And then when I heard you saying it, I went, oh, okay, maybe this is a broader word that's was used or is used, or I don't know whether it's dying out or do people still know what it is, or
probably people
they use them.
Yeah, people listen to us today and think, what are they on about? What is that about?
Don't you say dud for fake?
Yeah,
it's not that.
Yeah, a dud, used in terms of, you know, ammunition. A dud, you know, a dud bullet or an ammunition, it's certainly used that. Or you'll hear a dud bulb, you know what I mean? You
get
a dud in your Christmas lights. Not that dud. The dud we're talking about is different altogether. Do you know what we're talking about, folks? Duds. Do you have duds? 086 1800 658. WhatsApp or text me now. Well, if you have a picture of yourself in the duds, I'd love to see it as well. I sent you a picture last night,
you
didn't
did.
I? Did you know what she said to me? I was just disgusted, and I won't tell you what I sent back to her. Tell them what you said to me.
You sent me a picture in your duds, and they were kind of, you know, unkempt. Would that be a good enough word? And I just said mess, and I sent you a message back, and I just said, oh, didn't you wear them into the office last week?
How dare you?
Minus the wellies.
I'd never. No, but I will say this to you. Do you see what I was wearing in that picture?
Mm.
Once upon a time, I would have worn it to the office here, because that's the way my duds happen.
They get demoted.
Yes, they get demoted for sure.
And or promoted, depending on...
Yeah, well, I suppose on your perspective, but I have to say it's demotion for duds, to be honest with you. That jumper, the trousers I was wearing as well. You know, one time, I would have... Not now, they're gardening, they're out fishing, they're walking the dog, that type of thing. That's what I use my duds for. By the way, excuse me, I forgot to ask you this. I just after thinking, have you duds?
Actually, my whole wardrobe for duds.
It's you who said it, and I don't agree with you. I think you have classic in your wardrobe, may I say. But seriously, do you regard clothes that you have as duds? Do you have a set of duds?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I would throw them on you if you're doing certain things. Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, late lunch listeners. Anybody out there with their duds? You know, use the term, have them, wear them. If you want to send me a picture, I'd love to see it. WhatsApp or text.
Are you going to clarify, or are you just going to leave them hanging for a little while longer?
I'm going to give them the number again. 086 1800 658. WhatsApp or text me. They're coming in as I speak here. What we're talking about, and you know what I did before we came down? I actually went and looked at the definition of the word dud. Okay, so it's a noun, and duds, the plural is there. It says, a thing that fails to work properly or is otherwise unsatisfactory or worthless. Okay, definition one. Definition two, which it can mean as well, clothes. It just says clothes. And then when I read on, it says, why are clothes called duds? The term comes from the Middle English dud, D-U-D-D-E, duddy. you know, D-U-D-D, middle old English, I'd say, and originally meaning worn out or ragged clothing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's the genesis of the word duds when it comes to clothes. We're talking about clothes that you wear if you're in your garden, if you're doing something that...
Even housework, even if, you know, yes, you get home, it's just, yes, not clothes that are dressy that you wear out,
yeah,
of the house, really.
Yeah. And
not to mass.
No. not to LMFM studios when you're meeting guests or that either. No. None of that type of stuff. And you know, I'd wear them and they get more worn as you wear them and they get muddy and this, that and the other. And do you know the thing about duds? Yeah. I'd wear them for quite a time before they'd ever go near the wash.
Would you be more attached to your duds than to normal clothes?
Oh, I love my duds.
You see, like, would you be less? I know they're manky and they're probably,
yeah,
you know, holes in them or whatever. But would you be hard pressed to get rid of them faster than, say, yes, a Ralph Lauren top?
Yes, I love them. I have a t-shirt out. I think I showed you one day, and there's a hole in it up here, and I'd never get. I just love it, and I do put it in the wash. But I have to tell the boss when I'm putting the trousers or the jumpers in when they're have been worn for about 3 months, not to put them in with the whites. That's the biggest disaster if that happens.
Or
I don't know much
other
about
nice
it.
Clothes.
Yes, so I have to say, please separate those. Please tell me when you're putting those in the wash. Anyway, we have somebody waiting patiently by. You know her well. She's a great friend of ours and she dresses impeccably. She was on the golf course this morning, impeccably dressed, I believe, again, and hit the ball down the fairway with every shot. She hardly has duds. Carmel McCarthy, afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jerry. What do you mean I hardly have duds? I have a wardrobe full of them.
like Louise.
like Louise. And you know what? When you mentioned the word, it brought me back because my mother, God rest her, used to say, you know, when we'd come in from school, she'd now go up, hang up your uniform and put on your duds because we could be out, you know, God knows doing what, and we'd come in and there could be half the uniform would be ragged. So, yeah, you know, it brought me back to those days. Oh, yeah, I have. No, I certainly have, you know, one shelf devoted to duds, and that's what I use, you know, depending on the mood. Now, could come in the evening and say, oh, look, at I need to get rid of the day,
yeah,
and I could get into a pair of old tracksuit bottoms on the top, but like, I think my, I suppose, the duds, the piece de resistance, I've a pair of grey tracksuit bottoms, and no matter how tight I pull the cord on them, it still happens to loosen. So I, you know, God only knows what the neighbours see when I'm weeding.
Oh, you're a great crack, Carmel.
I'd have that on me with a t-shirt with bleach marks on it. Now I have a few of those.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
like they're a must. They're once-off pieces, you know.
Mm.
But I'd have that, and then if I was out in the garden and it was cold, I've this lovely fleece, and it's really warm, and you know, it's lined with nearly it's a real woolly lining.
Yes.
And when I was looking at it, sure, I have it since my daughter was in college. It was hers that she used to use, and there's because she did art and there's paint on it, and there's which I can't get off, you know. Then she was doing ceramics, so
yes,
there's some of that ground into it
still,
but, you know, it's as warm as toast.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd be out in that. Now you'd give me a penny if you saw me.
Oh, Carmel, yeah. I can't even picture that, because you're always impeccable when we see you, and I'm sure you look a picture, as I mentioned, on the golf course as well too.
Oh, but, Jesus, but Mary Joseph, no, you wouldn't. I know. But I tell you what kind of finishes it all off. If my beloved decides that he wants to power hose the roof or something, and I'm there footing the ladder, and I'm afraid that the hair will get covered in
yes,
mould and everything coming off the roof, I then have a shower cap on me. So, you know, you just... Now has the image been conjured up?
Oh, I'm just picturing it here. You bending over in those tracksuit bottoms,
yes,
the great woolly top, and the hat on as well. But here's the thing, an interesting one I want to ask you:
yes.
Would you go to the shops? If you had to say go to, now not for your weekly shop, but say you needed something and you had to go local, would you hop in the car and go in that clobber?
I would. Now, I'd take off the shower cap and I'd tighten the string on the tracksuit bottom. But no, I would. It wouldn't bother me in the slightest. Mm. Because, you know, you kind of look as though you're on a mission, you know, that you're doing stuff in the garden or doing a clean-up at home or whatever. Not at all. It wouldn't bother me. But, you know, like, I would leave the shower cap.
Oh, good on you. Well, that would paint an altogether different picture for sure. They'd think you'd lost the plot altogether. Yes. But isn't it funny you say there to me that particular top, it's cosy, it's warm, it has seen so many years of use. That fondness, as Louise mentioned to me, if you were listening to us a moment ago, she said, are you fond of your duds? And I definitely have a t-shirt and a couple of jumpers. I bought them in Italy many moons ago and I love them, but you know, with use and that, they've headed for the dud shelf. But I don't think I'd ever part with them, Carmel.
Well, you see, I'm the same. And like, my husband keeps acquiring duds because he might come in from work and say, oh God, I was in the middle of painting that. Now I'll continue doing it. And doesn't put the duds on. So then a decent shirt could suddenly become a dud.
Yes.
Now, that could be grounds for divorce, you know? But yeah.
That's interesting because when I'm cooking and I often go directly in from work and I love blue as a colour. And if you're, you know, using the pan or something, and something slashes out of them, and then Miriam says to me, look at them bloody trousers.
Yeah.
A good pair of trousers. And you're never going to get that stain out of them. You know, those stains, you know. And then they do move then to the other side.
Yeah. I think it's no harm, but if the dud shelf starts to outweigh the good shelf, well, then you have to, that's when you need serious counselling.
Carmel, perhaps, what do you think, Louise? Perhaps we'll start a new trend today. You know, that duds become fashion. What do you think?
Well, I mean, leisure wear became fashion because of COVID.
Yes.
You know, everybody was out buying tracksuits and all that kind of thing. So that was huge. So why not?
Why not?
The only thing is, as you said about the shirt, but the thing is, if your husband or other half comes in from the garden and in the duds or the paint and then sits down on your good couch.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He could become a dud. He could become a dud instantly himself.
Oh, yeah. He could be on the dud shelf. Definitely.
Oh, my. It's funny the way this conversation has come about and developed. And I mentioned the definition. You were listening there, Carmel, what a dud means and in terms of clothing. But dud is a slang word as well. Your duds are your clothes, says another definition. And going back, your mother or grandmother would have said years ago, when it wasn't slang, actually, here's a few, Bob, go and get yourself new duds. New
that's
duds,
correct.
Carmel.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's correct. Mm. Probably because they knew at some stage that they were going to end up, because you wore clothes until they nearly wore out, or that they'd have another use, which was for doing gardening or cleaning or whatever. And that was probably where it came from too.
Yes.
And
the other thing, Carmel, Louise actually said this about her mum as well. And I remember my own mother and father and everything. They didn't have wardrobes. They didn't have a huge amount of clothes. You know what you're getting going towards there, Carmel? Or you know what you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, clothes were more expensive then. I remember my mother she'd made a lot of clothes because to go out and buy a dress, we didn't have, pennies. Pennies is around for a good while, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Decent clothes were expensive.
Mm.
So that was why, you know, you kind of looked after them until they eventually, you know, they were wearing thin, and then you put them on the dud shelf, you know. But you wore your clothes, you know,
well,
you wore them out.
Carmel McCarthy is no dud, I can tell you. She's fantastic. And talking about duds, she'll be in our best duds tomorrow night. Congratulations. You have a big night coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, we've the Network Ireland Lowes Awards tomorrow night over in the Monaster Boys Inn, and it's our event of the year in the network, so a fabulous night, it always is. And one of the other girls in the network nominated me for Networker of the Year. So I mean, I'm up against stiff competition. So look, I mean, we'll go over there tomorrow night and we'll have the crack.
Yes.
And, you know, that's the important
what will
thing,
be, but, will be. Yeah, and yes, yes, you'll have the glad rags on. No messing.
I'll leave the duds at home.
Leave them at home tomorrow night, Carmel. Listen, you're so good. Away you go and enjoy your afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me, Carmel.
Thank you, Jerry.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. The wonderful Carmel McCarthy, Talking Duds. I never hear news now, says Lily. My mother always said, put on me old duds. Changing from good clothes into duds. That's what it is, says Mary Ward. Old clothes. Another listener. Caroline knows what it is now. Your guest is amazing. I love my duds for the garden and painting, but to the shops I doll up, totally transformed, says Alice. And I'll come back to more of your comments throughout the show this afternoon about the duds. Well, 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 such an outpouring of grief. I've never seen the likes of it, probably in the past. And the love for Anna Mae Bullock, who passed away yesterday. Yes, Tina Turner, 83 years of age. It's a regular quiz question, isn't it? Who is Anna Mae Bullock? Well, she is no more. She's gone. What a singer. What a performer. What a life she had. Absolutely outstanding. We will remember her today on Late Lunch, going back to 1985 and the movie Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. We love this one. A number two in America, three in the UK, Golden Globe and Grammy nominated. Here she is, Tina. Now, the weather I mentioned there, of course, when it gets really good like this, people head for the seaside. They head for lakes and rivers. Water, it's a huge attraction. So our next feature on Late Lunch is really timely. I'm delighted to welcome from Dundalk Sub Aqua Club, their PRO Chris O'Donnell, and their former chairperson, Joanne Murphy. You're both very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks a million for having us.
Not at all. Not at all. You're very welcome. Maybe tell us a bit about the club, would you, Joanne, first? And how long are you involved?
Sure. The club was formed in 2001 with a small group of keen divers who saw a need for a local club. So they put that together in 2001. And then just year on year, they brought in new members. I joined up with them in 2003. So it's my 20th year anniversary.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, and each year we've just seen an increase in the interest in scuba diving. A lot of people go abroad and try a day or two of scuba diving and then really get the bug, come back and try and find a local club and somewhere that can train them. So we take on with new trainees generally the end of September, the start of October, and we do a lot of pool training once a week. Right from all through the winter into generally February time, and then we go out for our first sea dives in March generally. So there's a lot of classroom and pool work before we actually go into the sea, so it's a really good preparation. Mm. So
it's a fascinating pastime, it really is, and I know when people get into it they absolutely love it and adore it. And here's an interesting thing, we were talking before we came on air, which is great to hear. It would at one stage have been male dominated. Fair to say that.
Yeah,
not
definitely.
Anymore.
No, no. In our club, we've 60, how many? Was 61 or 62 members. And it's basically half and half now, where when I joined, there was quite a few chaps and fewer of the ladies. And now we are literally about half and half, you know, which
terrific.
Is great to see. It's great to see.
It is wonderful to see. Let's bring Chris O'Donnell into the conversation. What do you do? Tell listeners, what is this all about? What's the fascination in it? Why do people love it?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to pass on our deepest sympathies. On our way here, we got reports that a body had been recovered from the Castletown River in Dundalk.
Oh.
There's an ongoing investigation, so we're not sure of exactly what has happened. And I would also like to pass on our sympathies to the tragic death of the guy on the jet ski and... best wishes to the girl that is in hospital at the minute. Hopefully she will have a full recovery.
We had that news earlier in the weekend, that as well. Shocking. Yeah. It really is shocking. Sad.
Which it emphasises the point of our role in search and rescue. Well, our job is, getting back to your question, our role is really, we are called upon when people go missing in waterways. We travel throughout the whole country, but particularly in the northeast region. We work with all the emergency services, both north and south. And reluctantly, we don't like to be called upon to... We know that there's not good news coming whenever we're called upon to
help out and help in a search and rescue operation. Mm. Besides that, though, I take it it's a leisure pursuit as well. People dive, to see what's down there and enjoy what's beneath the sea.
Oh, right. We have lots of fun. We go on lots of different dive sites. The marine life, we've got photographers in the club who sleep, dream and work. On that line of it, and there is some fantastic dive sites that we go to right across the west coast: Mayo, Galway, Donegal, Aranmore, Achill, north.
And our own dive sites are absolutely amazing for the amount of biodiversity that we have in our waters as well. People tend to think the beautiful clear waters of the west coast are fabulous. We have a slightly less clear water over this side of the country, but we have so much life in it. There's so much life. When we dive out, we generally go out sort of in Greenore towards the lighthouse out that area, and you're just kind of just at the edge of the channel, and it drops down into some, it can drop down quite deep, and we kind of hover in around the sort of 20 meters, and at that you have a huge variety of sea life, and it's great taking the new trainees down who are witnessing it for the first time, because they're always amazed at just the amount of variation in life that we have down there, from the very tiny things to the big conger eels, and
they're ferocious boys. Being an angler, I know all about them.
Only if you annoy them, so you just make sure not to annoy them. We observe from close proximity.
And are the creatures curious when they see, you're a visitor to their realm, their world? Do you find that? Do they avoid you, or do they eventually come, to you to see you?
Well, Finn.
The
dolphin that was out there.
Famous Finn, yes. I was going to get to that in a moment. Go on.
Some people, I think, was getting too fond of Finn. I think they wanted to take him home. But yeah, even the seals can be pretty curious.
Yeah,
they sort of come around to see what these strange objects are doing
in their back garden.
More importantly, that when we do dive and recreational dives with the search and rescue unit, that we are always in training, we're always focusing on climate change, weather, tides, etc. We've always got that prominent and at the forefront of our mind, that while we're doing a recreational dive, it is also an extreme sport which is safe if you conduct yourself in a safe manner. Yeah.
And that's very important to bear in mind. That you guys, tides, weather, everything you take, you leave nothing to chance.
Absolutely.
But that accident that happened, sadly, where a life was lost.
Yeah.
And what do you say today to people, who are heading for the waterways now to enjoy themselves, and rightly so?
Of course,
what's your advice?
Yeah, our advice is just watch your tides. Make sure that if it's an outgoing tide, you know that it's outgoing rather than incoming. Certainly in places like Carlingford Lock, it's very tidal, and it's very fast when it's tidal, and there are certain parts of the lock that would be very fast. The channel certainly is a very fast part of it, people who go out there without any knowledge, are heading into conditions that they mightn't just be prepared for. Certainly if you're out on something like a jet ski, let somebody know where you are, what your estimated time of arrival back home would be. Just have somebody watching out for you, that if you don't come back when you say you're going to be back, that somebody has alerted. Of course, life jackets, everything. Your only chance if you get fall into the water and you're separated from your jet ski, you're not getting back to your jet ski generally.
It's also important with your life jackets to ensure that they're buckled up and not just on you. Mm. It's like yourselves, when we go on a boat, we are not responsible for ourselves. Our dive buddy is responsible for ourselves. When we're checking before we enter the water, our dive buddy checks all our equipment. Okay. We check our dive buddy's equipment to make sure that if something goes wrong, that we know that they are fully kitted up
yes.
in a safe
it's
manner.
It's a cross check, really.
Absolutely,
as such, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
it
it's really,
yeah.
you know, it's Loctite as such. You mentioned yeah. jet skis and people love their jet skis.
Yeah.
My God, you know, they're really, you have to be careful with them. They're a powerful machine and,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
life can be lost
absolutely.
With them as well. I don't want to be a killjoy.
Oh, no, absolutely. Nobody's saying that. It's there's with everything that you take to the water, be it canoes or kayaks or anything like that, there's a safety element that needs to be adhered to as well. And the more, you know, that you have ensured your safety, the better fun you're going to have, because you're not going to be worried then if you
yes.
or you're not going to be faced with a situation where you're going to need the emergency services. We are very lucky in this part of the world that we have the Coast Guard is out in Greenore as well, and we have the RNLI across the way, and so there's a lot of response when there's
yes,
when it's needed,
when.
But the whole thing is prevention is obviously better than.
We mentioned jet skis and that, but you know, I look at the supermarkets and they have big sales in Lilos and Rings and your own little inflatable boat and that as well. You mentioned fast flowing tides and that, and people may not be aware that you go out on the water a distance and within minutes you can be way out of your depth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's also worth pointing out that when people are out enjoying themselves, that when they do see divers on site, we actually have a flag on our boats, and some amateur jet skiers don't even realise what that flag's for. That flag is to indicate that there is divers in the water, and some of our coxswains have to actually have went in a panic mode because jet skis have been whizzing up and down. We have got equipment to let people know that we're surfacing. It's a surface marker buoy, and just to be extremely careful when you are out on the water, to know that other signals and what they represent.
Yes. You should educate yourself in all
absolutely,
this before
yeah.
you do, especially when it comes to the skis as well. How are you faring for money? And this question was going to come up anyway. How do you fund yourselves? Or what happens?
We are a voluntary organisation. All our funding comes from the public. The people of the people of County Louth, and in particular North Louth, have been very generous to us in the past. We have had funding from National Lottery Good Causes. In addition to being chosen as finalists last year in the Good Causes Award, the funding that we received had been vital to purchase one of our rigid inflatable boats. But we receive absolutely no funding from the government. We are a voluntary based organisation. We give up all our time free. If we're called to rescue anywhere, we pay for our own fuel to get to the site, regardless of how far it is. We have been involved in searches this year of two sites in Dublin where two missing people were, and we have also been involved in two different searches in County Fermanagh. We pay for our own fuel, we pay for our own lunch, and any money that comes into the club is used exclusively for search and rescue needs.
You're fantastic. I have such admiration for you, may I say, because, you know, the goodness is great to hear about. It really, really is. And you're well deserving of that national lottery boost that you got as well. And I hope you get more boosts as well in the future. For anyone listening today who might like to dip their toes in the water, sorry for that shocking pun, but you know what I'm saying, if they're interested in what you do, what's the process?
Well, we start our training once a year, generally in the sort of end of September, start of October. So what we advertise at that time is a try a dive. So what we do is we have a couple of nights down in the local pool in Dundalk. People come down, try the gear on, have a swim up and down. We take them down up and down the pool to see if it's something that they might like to do, because a lot of people, sometimes the very notion of putting something on, they get a bit claustrophobic and know straight away it's not for them.
Yes.
So, but they always wanted to try it. So We are on Facebook and Instagram.
We're also in the process of setting up a new website.
So generally we advertise there, and it kind of reaches as many people maybe as we'd like to, and we've had no problem getting
members
this last couple of years,
which
is great.
The autumn of the year, and there'll be plenty of information whizzing around social media and on the new website too. It must be a fascinating, as I say, to go into that other world that, you know, you obviously love and enjoy as
it
well.
It certainly is, but you must respect the water.
Yeah.
That's the important
big
thing.
Message
respect
today.
Respect the water.
Yeah, you've please. Got it.
And particularly in the coming months when lots of people will be heading towards beaches and lakes and rivers, etc. And as Joe pointed out, before you leave, let somebody know your estimated time of arrival back. And please, at all times, wear safety equipment. It's essential.
Absolutely. Listen, lovely to meet you today. Well done to you and all your members, and good luck during the season ahead. And I hope, I say this with the greatest respect, you don't have too many calls to make. Enjoy your leisure diving, and that the other ones are kept to a minimum. From Dundalk Subaquid Club, I'm delighted to have as my guest today in studio Chris O'Donnell, their PRO, and Joanne Murphy. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
Justin Timberlake. Let's do something. We're going to be doing something in a minute on Late Lunch because composting. Everybody should be composting. But we're going to be talking about a brand new home composter from a company, produced by a company in County Meath in a few minutes on the show. Don't miss that. I just want to mention Sheila Hudson. She was a guest of mine some years ago on the show along with her husband.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Roger, who's a wonderful poet. Sheila passed away, sadly, at home on the 21st of May. And she's well known in the Drogheda area, originally from Dublin, lived in London for many years, a lover of song, music and dance, and a lifelong advocate for others in need. And what a lovely woman she was. And we send our sympathies to her husband, Roger, and son, Simon and Brian, and the extended family today. May she rest in peace. That says Sheila Hudson, mentioned her today on the show. Louise, I got a message from Apple this morning. It says this. Have a listen. Dear Apple customer, we are writing to inform you that our system has flagged your account as a potential bot. What? Apple think I'm a bot? I didn't know that a bot.
Here you go, Jerry. The first time you've been told you're a nice bot.
Oh, Katrina. That's me arse. Not at all. I didn't know that.
Your artificial intelligence, are you?
I didn't know that bot is the abbreviation for robot. Mm. I had to ask Eric Katrina, what's a bot? So there you are. I learned something today. So Apple think I've...
Why?
I don't know. Look, do you know what it is? Do you know the way they've changed the system
are
in
you
here?
Are you writing like that again?
Do you know the way they've changed the system here? All the bloody spam is coming into our inbox. You have to mark everything off again with the new system to make sure it goes to spam. But Katrina said to me, it says here, click to update your account. She says, don't bloody click that no matter what you do.
Oh, right.
You know, it's one of those dodgy ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a dodgy one indeed for our Apple customer. I'm a bot. I smiled. I'm a potential robot. We will exterminate you. I'm back to the Daleks again. Are we? Or do you remember?
So you've no excuse now if you're a robot for doing like 700 jobs all at once. Multitasking.
Ah, yes, indeed. Drop everything. That's the problem when you do too much all at once. Yes, of course. Not like Carmel's tracks
like Carmel.
At bottoms. No. I'm still thinking of that. Where the moon don't shine. Anyways, composting. As I said a moment ago, it is. Will you stop laughing? Oh, she's gone. She's away on one. We better head to to a short break. Back in a moment with this home composter. Really interesting. Stay with us in Late Lunch. You do know that I'm a gardener myself and I love composting all my waste, but I have to say that lots of people don't, and so much goes the wrong way when it comes to dealing with waste. But I'm delighted to say that there's a company in County Meath called Harp. Yes, they're a fantastic company. Harp Renewables is their name, and they've come out now with this brand new home composter. And I'm delighted to welcome to Late Lunch this afternoon project manager Jerry McDonald. Jerry, thanks for dropping in.
Thanks a million for having me, Joe.
Not at all. You're very welcome. Tell us a bit about the company. Shane Finnegan set it up, what, back in 2014? You're in Kentstown?
Yeah, we originally set up an electrical company in 2002. And that was his mainstay at the time. And he'd done a lot of big projects for the big waste companies and for developing the waste and screening waste and that. And he seen a niche for food waste. And he looked at it. And then in 2014, he set up Harp Renewables. And that was to try and develop a machine that would look after your food waste. So we developed a range of the CX machines, or CX1 up to CX50. He developed them, and you put in your waste, your food waste, from hotels, restaurants, any kind of excess, even your garden. Not as in it's your garden, as in your garden and stuff, not your grass or your leaves and that. Be the tops of your carrots, that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And he done a lot of work in the background, got their machines up and running, and he's developed a range of 6 machines. So everything is manufactured in Kentstown. The whole lot. He manufactures them, does all the panels for them, does all the software. There's a crew of 48 over there. It's fantastic. And you wouldn't, a couple of big sheds there.
Yes.
It's a fantastic what he's after doing. So the machine effectively breaks down the waste and puts it out the other end 80% less. And it's an organic fertilizer. Completely organic.
It's brilliant. And this up to this point has been aimed at big users, you know, as you said, industrial type thing, right?
All for industry. So
yes.
They've been going to shows over the last couple of years, and they broke into the States in 2018, 19.
You have an office there now?
Yeah, office over in California. And everywhere he went, what about the house? What about the house? We're looking for one for the house. And there is a few different ones in America for the house, but they don't actually break it down into compost. They only crush it.
Mm.
Some of them take it back. But he developed this one, and it literally breaks down the waste. So we use our own microbe. So you start the machine off. It's the size of, we'll say, a 40-litre bin that you'd have in your kitchen. You see,
I was going to say that myself. Yeah. That's the actual description now, but it's outside here in reception. Yeah.
It's a plug-in unit. There's a concave inside with plastic, and there's heat pads on that, and it gets the temperature up to about 50 degrees, 55 degrees as it fills up. So the microbes get working. So as you add in your food waste, it breaks it down and breaks it down. So after about 4 or 5 weeks, you'll see your food waste gradually coming up. And this machine will take, it'll take up to 2 kilos a day. If you, we'll say, if you had a party on or a big dinner on Sunday, it take that, we'll say, a bit of waste, if you had a few spuds left over, whatever. And then it'll take about 10 kilo a week. But if you're wasting more than 10 kilo a week, you're doing something wrong.
Mm.
So it helps you measure your waste, because you're looking at what you're putting into it. So it breaks it down, and in time it'll fill up and fill up, and then you just scoop out the fertilizer, the compost, and it's an enriched compost, and it sequesters the carbon, so it holds the carbon in. So you get that carbon back into your garden, back into your plants, back into your bedding plants. You put it in, it's really strong, there's great NPK in it. You mix it in, you'd have to mix it 1 to 9, like. So I have a little sachet there.
I have a sachet here sitting beside me. So there's power in that little sachet there.
Yeah, yeah.
So 1 to 9 ratio.
One of that to 9. Or you could, if you're doing a few little pots, you'd get 6 or 8 little pots for, say, an apartment. So so this is aimed at the people that...
So this is mixed through with your...
mix it with your compost or...
anything like
whatever,
that.
Or even
you
your
add
soil.
This to it.
Add that to the
1
soil.
To 9 for that.
Yeah,
okay, for that, with this infusion. Now, tell me, come back to the bin again. You mentioned all the vegetable peel and spuds. What about meat or bones?
Not really bones.
Not really
no,
a chicken carcass, nothing like that.
If you have a bit of a chicken bone left, you see a few legs in them, because we're testing. We've 10 of them on test for the last 3 months. So it'd be odd person to throw in the chicken leg.
Yeah.
It'll strip all the meat off the chicken leg, and all you're left was the clean bone.
You think
it was something you were after doing an archaeology dig. But
It
takes all that. So the packet of sausages that you leave at the back of the fridge that you forgot about for the week, throw them straight in. You won't see them. You won't see them in 6 hours because they're already cut up. So there is a bit of managing on it, but there's not much managing compared to your compost heap at home with yours.
Ah, well, mine takes months and months, and nearly a year in some instances before it's ready to use. Here's the thing. So you just keep adding to it, adding to it, adding to it, and the microbes work away and they're reducing. And can you take the I'm looking at it from the bottom to the top. Obviously, the stuff at the bottom is turned into what you want.
It keeps mixing it.
Does it? The whole thing.
So we'd say, if you see it near the fill line.
Yes.
Leave it for 24 hours.
Yes.
And let it dry out that little bit more.
Yeah.
And you're literally scooping it out of the top of it.
Okay.
You're walking back down to the spinner. Spinner's at about, we'd say, one third of the way up. It turns.
It rotates the
10-minute cycle. It goes forward. It comes back.
Yeah.
And it keeps it going. The heat is there all the time.
And how do you empty it?
Just with a little scoop. You just empty it out into your bucket.
Open the lid.
Open the lid,
lift
scoop it out.
And away you
bring
go.
Bring it down that two thirds and then away with you again.
So the good stuff comes to the top that's ready to use.
Yeah,
that comes
be,
up to the top.
Say the bit you take out. There will be a few bits and that.
Of course.
That, say a big bit of a spud that didn't. So you just throw that back in.
Yes, exactly.
And ready for the next
perfect,
thing.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah. It plugs in. It's running electricity.
Runs on electricity, yeah. Similar to, we'd say, a small fridge. That's the kind of electricity usage it is.
And I take it you'd put it in a garage or a shed or somewhere like that.
Yeah,
would that be the best place?
Yeah, it would be the best place for it. I would say if you had a back kitchen. Somehow there's a bit of air. It's a bit of air. There is a little odour off it, but not bad.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
You've gone out there and it's working away out there.
Yeah,
it's a sweet type of thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But ideally, a shed or a garage, plug it in and she works away there. And what are you talking about? If you talk about the normal you mentioned weights of waste there, what will it reduce your waste to virtually? Nil, so, virtually nil, really.
Well, it'll take we'll say you're putting in 8 kilo a week. It'll take that back to maybe 1 kilo.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So for the year, I'm reckoning, with the few tests we're after doing on them, you'll get 40 kilos of that enriched fertiliser.
From your machine.
So that 40 kilos, you mix that up with 8 fours. You mix that up with 320 kilos. So you will have a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And in time, we're talking about maybe if people, we'd say, live in a little, we'd say, in a small house, they have some big gardens, just have a little bit at the front and the back, and they say, I've nowhere to go with this. We're looking at a way of taking it back off the household.
Okay.
So that it's we'll complete the circle then.
Okay.
We'll further refine it in our yard.
So this is another stage of the business you're looking at.
Yeah, that's probably down the line for
yes.
Develop that fertilizer, that infusion fertilizer.
Yes.
And get going from there. Like we have the CX machines working. There's one in Meath County Council. I have to give Bernadine Finnegan a mention. She pioneered the one in Navan. She was brilliant. She took it into the recycling centre in Navan. And that was a great one to get the lads off the ground. People can see it working. Like you didn't know why I was talking about, like, come in today.
Yeah.
And then you see and you say, oh my God, that's deadly. Do you know what I mean?
It's
really good. So Bernadine championed that for us for a good while. And then we have them in Adair Manor, Bread 41 in Dublin, one in Cavan County Council, one in Ashford Castle. If you go onto our website, there's a great video for one in Cincinnati Zoo in America. We've one in Disney. Do you know? So we're on the West Coast of America. We're trying to crack the East Coast. So we're starting these small ones here in Ireland and we'll see where the road takes
us. Oh, there is an opening for this. There's no doubt. I'm not surprised you've tackled this area because people have been talking about this for years to do this. And there is a huge gap in the market. Isn't it great when you think of little Kentstown and you're in California now on the West Coast of America and you're selling away there.
Yeah,
it's a great success story, isn't it?
A couple of partners in Europe as well.
Yes.
Dublin, Europe and England. Mm. We're like worldwide. Like they're doing electrical work in Australia. They're working on the biggest recycling plant in Australia, doing electrical panels for Tormach Engineering in Abbey.
Yes.
They're putting in the recycling plant for
terrific.
I can't think of the name of the company. It's not.
Yeah, but that just shows you where your wings have taken you with all of this. You're launching this at Bloom.
Yes.
Next weekend.
Bloom
is on next weekend, which is a fantastic opportunity as well. What would you be talking about for this machine price? Ballpark, what do you think?
Ballpark, we've two ranges of machines. The one I showed you today is the HR020K. It's the bigger version of it. So we're hoping that we'll get them on the market for between $499 plus VAT to $799 plus VAT.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a smaller version as well, is
there? We've two. We're developing two, but we've we've that one.
That's the big one. That's the cost of the big
ready
one.
To roll. Yeah, yeah, that's the big ready one is to roll ready now. To roll, yeah. We're launching at Bloom. We're really looking forward to it because we're not sure. Everyone's looking for the market and we're hitting the market with it, and that'll be our test in Bloom. It'll be,
of course,
talking to the people. We're in the retail marquee in Bloom, stand S9. Call in and see us. We'll be there all weekend. We have Joe,
yes,
Stephanie, Kevin.
They'd love
Eddie.
To see you, and they're local from Kentstown, as we mentioned. It's neat. It's nifty. It's a great idea, and I see the product. Look at the colour. Look at how dark that is. Look, it's almost black.
It's lovely stuff.
What you get from it, isn't it? And as well, you know, in terms of bins, like we all have our black bin, green bin, supposed to have a brown bin, even though it's not all over the place.
Yeah.
But nearly reduce or negate the need for
it does,
a brown
it helps,
bin.
It helps the bigger companies. It probably won't negate the need for a brown bin because you'll need your brown bin for your grass cuttings and your hedge trimmings and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it's the food waste that causes the issue.
Yes.
Because that attracts the flies. That attracts the rodents.
Yes.
This is fly-free. You've seen the one I have in reception. It's rodent-free. You can't get into it. And it traps all your food waste.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect example. And then you're taking your food waste out of your black bin. So the bin companies are always talking about bins being the wrong stuff in the green bin and the wrong...
Mm.
It takes that stuff out of your black bin, reduces your weight, because a lot of the bin companies are paid by weight now. So
yes,
it'll take a bit from that.
Mm.
And it just helps the whole waste stream.
Mm.
And you're putting back in. You're closing the loop is the key.
Mm.
Because you're putting it back in, you're putting that carbon back into the ground.
Yes, which is really, really the key to this as well. I love this. I mean, I love it. Congratulations to you. It's fantastic. It really is. And it will pay you back with time. That's the thing. You get payback from this.
It's an investment.
It's over time.
It's an investment
in time, isn't it? It really, really is. I've seen people here. Where can we get more information about this? Never mind Bloom. Where can people find out?
Go on to the Harp website.
Right.
Harp Renewables. And there'll be a link there for inquiries at Harp Renewables.
Okay.
Fire on an email. We're doing a pre-order at Bloom.
Okay.
And then we're going to look at it when we come back from Bloom. We're going to get back in contact with everyone. We probably won't have them ready. The first one will be ready end of July, beginning of August.
Okay.
To hit the... But we're doing a pre-order. We only have X amount. We can't make 10,000 of them at the one time.
Yes.
Great if we sold 10,000 in the one year.
Isn't it a good headache to have?
Yeah.
Anyway, you're onto something really brilliant. Harp Renewables. Check their website out. All the details are there. I'm going to put my neck on the line and say that down the road, majority of houses will have these, and that's all I can say
please
to you.
God, yeah,
yes,
God,
they will.
Will yeah.
Thanks so much for joining me today and telling us all about it. Jerry McDonald from Harp Renewables. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
The Late Lunch, brought to you by Blackstone Motors Drogheda.
I'm just thinking the heavens are alight today with Tina Turner and James Brown doing a duet. Would you just imagine? Just imagine what it would be like. God bless them both and have mercy on them. Claverhead RNLI are holding their annual May Day appeal this Friday. That's tomorrow, the 26th of May, in Scotch Hall Shopping Centre, Drogheda, opposite Dunn Stores Grocery. And they are always so grateful for the support of the public, which enables them to continue their important work, saving lives at sea. Yes, we were talking earlier on to Dundalk Sub-Aqua, and they, of course, Claverhead RNLI, tie in with those emergencies, and we hope there's few of them this summertime. So if you can support the Claverhead RNLI tomorrow in Scotch Hall Shopping Centre, they'd be very grateful. And if you want a lovely evening out, Trade a Singer summer concert in aid of the Samaritans in Drogheda North East takes place in St Peter's Church of Ireland, Peter Street, tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock, and tickets are available at the door there too. And one more to mention, a little while down the road, June 17th, 3 o'clock, Weavers Park, as it's known at this time, United Park to a lot of people, the original name, Lockie's Legends charity football match. Brendan Loughran, the former Drogheda United kit manager, what a wonderful man. And a very special game being organised between the 2007 league winning side managed by Paul Doolan and Mick Cook's 2013 side, who went to the cup final. Doolan against Cook, and tickets.ie if you want to book your tickets for that big match there. And all funds going to Trade a House, Drogheda Alzheimer's. It's a wonderful, wonderful cause. That's June 17th, 3 o'clock, Weavers Park, that coming up. Duds. loads of duds coming in to us. Angela, I love your duds outfit, and many more people telling us that they love their duds and they love getting into them and getting down and dirty in the garden and you name it. Thanks so much to everybody who's been in touch with us on the show this afternoon. I think there'll be a duds section in some of the major fashion stores since today on the show. Do you know that? I think they've been listening in. I think there'll be a section for duds. What do you think?
What, when you say duds, will it be like soil covered tracksuit bottoms? Would they have to be dirty?
Well, they'd have
with
to be
moth holes in them.
Yeah, they'd have to be quite used, but they'd have to be clean on. You know what I'm saying? But a section where, you know, well used, well worn,
comfortable,
comfortable.
Yeah, yes, that's
that
the
type
main
of
word.
Stuff. Yeah, that's
oversized.
And with a string,
with elastic,
with elastic, with a string that ties or elastic in the bottoms for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Just. And they'll need to do an outside range for headwear, just for Carmel, so she doesn't have to rob all her share hats.
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff. While on the retail subject, got a note or an email, should I say, from Tesco. I'm a Tesco club card holder. Mm-hmm. Are you? Do you
I
have
am.
A club card? To say that Centre Parks will be no longer participating in the club card scheme from later this year. And
you've been a great user of those deals over the years with everything.
I've loved them. They had Bord Gáis, who I had my electricity with, and if you had, say, €20 in club card vouchers, you got 60 on the electricity. Treble it, Centre Parks, they opted as well, double or treble as well. And I just feel now that the club card, you know, there are still offers, you know, for multiplying your points. The phone, I think you can get it on the Tesco mobile.
Yeah,
can you?
Like, I know you were telling me over the years you've got great deals, and I kind of went, okay. But I got my daughter a Tesco mobile recently, and my son has one already.
Yeah.
And the lads in Tesco and Drogheda, who are fantastic lads, said that I can use my, you know, the little vouchers that the club card vouchers or whatever. That it's €15 a month for all your data for the phone. It's pay as you go. But if you use it, a fiver gets you €15.
Yeah, treble. They treble it.
Which
they
is great.
Which is great on that.
The
and
kids'
I,
phone, yeah.
Yes, I compliment them on that. But I just think losing Bord Gáis, losing Centre Parks
it's dwindled, hasn't it?
Number of participants in Club Card has absolutely dwindled. And I wonder about that. Now, in the store, you know yourself, the duo pricings, you know what I mean?
Prices,
one full price, one if you have your Club Card, you know, that's there for sure. But I just think that Club Card need to secure more of those types, you know, like the electricity, like the Centre Parks thing. And I think it's diminished. I believe it's diminished, I have to say, with losing them. And I'm a fan of it, a big fan of it. But Centre Parks going, I think it's not good. Now, hit it there, Louise.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Counting down the top five songs from this week of yesteryear. And today it's
the number two from this very week in 1979, and it was the second single taken from their album Manifesto. It became the ninth biggest selling single in the UK in 1979, even though it didn't make number one. It was written by Brian Ferry for his 1977 solo album called In Your Mind, but it didn't make the final track listing, and he was to include it in the 1978 album The Bride Stripped Bare, but again it didn't make the cut. But by God, when he got down to finishing it off and releasing it with Roxy Music, it was a big one. Here it is, Dance Away from Roxy.
You're dressed to kill and guess who's dying.
Dance away.
Roxy Music, Dance Away, our number two in our top five countdown from this very week in 1979. And just one more to do tomorrow, the number one, and I love it, I have to say. Anyway, Brenda Joyce looks great in her duds in the garden, so husband Eddie tells me. Anyway, nice to hear from you this afternoon, Eddie and Brenda. Hope you're enjoying the lovely weather and the sunshine. Final break of the day on Late Lunch, and afterwards, The Chair where no one's there. My final guest today is Director of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland Solar Disinfection Research Group, and he's been a guest of mine on the show in the past, and him and his team are doing wonderful work all over the world on all of our behalfs. Professor Kevin McGuigan, good to talk to you again.
Jerry, how are you?
I'm really good. Well, I'll tell you this. 10 million views and rising, I'm sure, since that news came out on Twitter. Did you ever believe you'd be an internet sensation?
Well, I thought I might be remembered for many things, but not for a chair in a garden, Jerry, I have to say. It's grown legs and gone far beyond what I thought was going to happen.
Oh, it's magnificent. It's a great wee story. It really is. Anyway, we are, folks, talking about a chair in a garden. And Kevin posted this picture of the chair with the grass growing up through it. It looks completely abandoned. But take us back, Kevin, to the pandemic and your walks and this chair. Tell us the story.
Oh, well, like everybody else, I was working from home for most of the pandemic. And you'd have to go out for a walk just to preserve your mental stability, your mental health. So I would go out for a walk through the glen, and sometimes I would go through Yellowbadder. And there was always a lady sitting in a chair in one of the front gardens, and she'd say hello and to whoever was passing by, and I'd say hello. And she was always there. Now, of the last few months, I've been working quite a lot. I was abroad quite a lot, so I haven't had an occasion to go down that street. So my wife and I went for a walk on Monday evening, and then we passed the garden, and our memory of it was always very well kept and, you know, immaculately kept, and the lady would be sitting in the chair. But now the grass, there's been no mowing on that. The grass is completely up through the chair. There's bushes growing through the back of the wicker chair. So I just thought, I suppose you think the worst, you wonder what has happened to the lady. So I took a photograph, and in an introspective moment, I just posted it on Twitter to say, you know, I wonder, you know, throughout the pandemic, I've passed this lady, but this evening, as I passed, I realized, and I just didn't say anything more than that. I just said, I've realized, and I left it up to the viewer to finish the sentence for themselves, because I don't know what's happened to the lady, but I can suspect what's happened. So I posted that, and then I switched the phone off and went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, it had 2 million views, and there was something like 2,000 retweets, and it just took off. And I don't have a huge Twitter following, so it struck a chord with lots of people for loads of different reasons. Mm. So at this stage, I'm looking at now, it has 10.9 million views.
Wow.
So,
wow, wow, wow. That is just something else. But you obviously captured something really special, Kevin. You know what I mean? That has resonated with so many as well. You know, the question, why has this happened? Where is the lady? The, you know, the fragility of life.
Exactly, exactly. The fragility, and also the fact that it's... My last memory of seeing this lady probably was in late autumn, early winter, and already that chair is almost completely overgrown with grass. How quickly nature kind of takes everything back, and how fleeting our time is, and in years to come, who will remember us? And so it struck a lot of chords for a lot of different reasons with different people.
Yeah. What were the words you put with the picture?
Okay, throughout the pandemic, whenever I walked past this garden, there would be a little old lady sitting in this seat who would talk to whoever passed by. This evening, as I passed, I realized, and then just dot, dot, dot. I didn't finish the sentence.
Mm. Oh, my. The intrigue, you know, of your words as well, aligned with the picture, is powerful, Kevin. May I say to you, it's powerful, Kevin. It really, really is.
And you know, really, it doesn't have to have anything to do with the pandemic. It speaks to anybody who has experienced loss. You know, you see something that reminds you of the person that used to be there, and it's a moving memory of times past.
Mm. It really, really is. Did anyone? I'm being nosy now here, which is my profession, of course. Did anyone answer the question? You know, you said to me a few moments ago, you don't actually know. Do you want to know?
Well, I've had several people contact me on WhatsApp to say that they think they know. And the general feeling is that that lady has passed. But I don't want to say that because I don't know. You can't rely on word of mouth. So yeah. I'd hate to say that. Whatever. I know the lady's name, so but I won't say it. And I deliberately cropped the photograph so that the house wouldn't be seen, just to kind of preserve their privacy. But yes. The feedback I'm getting is that the lady is no longer with us. Mm. And so my suspicions, I think, are correct.
Yeah. And again, to say it's in Yellowbatter in Drogheda town itself. And did you take the picture with your phone? Was it? Or I know you're into photography, aren't you?
Oh, I had my iPhone in my pocket.
Took the picture with the iPhone.
And
that was it.
And I didn't take any particular care because I just took a quick snap, and I thought no more about it. It was only later on that night when I looked back at the photographs, I realised, you know, there's something there, mm. and I posted it, not realising that other people thought there was a lot more to it, so it resonated in a much greater way with people all over the world. So
it certainly did. Well, I have to tell you, it's been a hell of a trip in a short space of time, and your phone had to go on silent, I'm sure.
It did. I'm correcting exams at the moment.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I had to silence the notifications and turn the phone away from me just so I could concentrate on that. But generally, the response has been very positive and very, very nice. There's always a couple of people who... they're insisting I go over and cut the lady's grass, you know, or they have there's always people with conspiracy theories saying who are willing to say what they think has happened, but I've got no evidence for that.
No,
but that's the internet for you, Jerry.
That's it, Sherlock, the Wild West.
Yeah, but in general, it's just been a very positive experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Check it out. It's all over the place at the moment. 10.9 million views on Twitter. Professor Kevin McGuigan is a sensation around the world from little old Drogheda. Kevin, you're great. Lovely to talk to you today. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Take care of yourself. That's Professor Kevin McGuigan there, Director of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland Solar Disinfection Research Group. He's a terrific guy. Oz, that's a lovely wee story to finish today. That's it on Late Lunch this Thursday afternoon. Eddie Caffrey's on his way with the drive. Stay with us here on LMFM Radio. We'll be back with the final show of the week tomorrow, 1:30 Friday. It's a date. See you then.
The Late Lunch, brought to you by Blackstone Motors, Drogheda, Dundalk and Cavan.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.